WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
Hey, hey, hey. Christmas Eve, Eve. And I've never been so much into Christmas Eve, Eve, or Eve, 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 or Eve, 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 Eve. I think this year brought that Christmas spirit out in me. Hope you're enjoying. Hope you're getting ready. You know, this is almost crunch time. One night away, people are already traveling. I was looking at the news on television, and it's traffic jam city. There are people that are leaving work, and they don't plan on going back to work until the Monday after New Year's. There are others that are going to just take this weekend off. They got to go back for a couple of days next week. Same here. Same here. This is going to be the final Brian's Beat for calendar year 2025. I'll be off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll do Freedom Fools on Saturday, and then I'm going to be in for Barry Monday and Tuesday next week, and then off for that coming weekend. So, hey, we do it here. They do it there. Everybody's doing it everywhere. Good evening. It is chilly outside, and I hear, I don't know that it's really going to happen. I did see a couple dinky-looking snowflakes earlier this afternoon. The ground is damp. We are expecting, what do they call it, a coating. We're expecting a coating. It's like you're putting salt on potatoes. Kind of just coat them, just a little bit. Anyway, on the 23rd of December, it's Festivus for the rest of us. I guess it makes sense. Christmas Eve, Eve. It's also Metric Conversion Day. Always got a kick out of that. I remember all the way back to, I don't know, my sophomore or junior year in college. People kept on saying, we're going to convert over to metric. We're converting over to metric. And I said, well, if that's the case, why don't we give out the temperature in Celsius? And in fact, I said, just give it out in Celsius and we'll never say Fahrenheit again. Well, if you don't say Fahrenheit, how are people going to know? I said, you know, if you just keep on saying it's 14 degrees outside, eventually people are going to recognize 14 to be, well, it's kind of cold outside. Or maybe it's warm outside. I mean, think about it. 32 degrees is freezing in Fahrenheit language. That's because we know after the repeating of it over the, for us, you know, decades. And kids learn it when they're young. If they had started with Celsius when they started going to school, we'd have generations speaking in metric. I'm not a big fan of metric. I'm just saying. I still get confused when I go into a store and I see, oh, this is 500 ml. ML what? ML car? I don't know what it means. But I guess there's some people out there. And when you're in the doctor's office or at the hospital, in particular, I notice over at St. Luke's when I'm a patient, the nurse who's got to give me a shot of something, she's got that little calculator out there and she's converting something over to something else to make sure that she's giving me the right amount. Thank you. I'm glad that she does. We're going to give you a little fentanyl. Want to make sure it's the right amount? Yeah, I want you to make sure it's the right amount. 1783, George Washington. He resigned as commander-in-chief of the army You know why? He knew he had another thing coming. He knew that the next gig was going to be better than being commander-in-chief. In fact, he still ended up being commander-in-chief of the entire United States. 1783, resignation day. 1913, we were blessed with the Federal Reserve Act, signed begrudgingly by Woodrow Wilson, President Wilson. And I guess he kind of had to do it. It was the 16th Amendment to the Constitution. And it passed in the states, passed in the Congress. And I think the first time it went around to Woodrow Wilson, he wasn't in favor, and I don't think he passed, but I think there was an override on an amendment. The amendment reads, "The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived, without apportionment among the several states, and without regard to any census or enumeration." Boy, by the way, income is different than the amount of money that you make when you go to work. You know, we call it income, but it's remuneration. It's what you are being paid for the services that you rendered. And you might say, well, how is that not income? In accounting-ese and legal-ese, there is a difference. And I know the folks in Congress know that there is a difference. I know the president of the United States knows, and not just this, but all the other presidents do. And the several lawyers that argue pro and con on what is and what is not income. They all know it. But in many cases, the judges don't allow that information to be presented in court. Don't ask me why. But I have spoken to several people with knowledge, and this is what they tell me. There are people that have gone to jail because they haven't been able to present what they consider to be a proper case. A little bit more about number 16. We weren't alive during the 19th century, the 1800s, and up until the first 10 or so, let's say 15 years of the 20th century, the United States government made modest money, let's say, modest money, and their existence depended on consumption taxes and tariffs. That's how impost. That changed, not right away, but after the 16th Amendment was enacted. And at first, the tax was imposed on people with incomes of X amount of dollars. But then as we progress, more and more people are burdened with the income tax. I would be fine if somebody would come up with a constitutional amendment to suspend or get rid of the 16th Amendment. You know, similar to what the 21st Amendment did to the 18th, 19th, one of those, 19th, thank you, amendment dealing with prohibition. Let's put a prohibition on the income tax. My thoughts. What else? I remember this when it happened. I think I was in sixth grade, maybe fifth grade. The crew from the USS... When I'm out west, we'd say Pueblo. Out here, it's Pueblo. Anyway, that's the name of the boat. They got caught, I guess, pretty close to North Korean waters. And they ended up in captivity for 11 months, the crew of the Pueblo. They were released on this date in 1968 by the North Koreans. And boy, I was too young to think about going into the military. I had no idea, but, you know, that was some frightening times. You know, why are the North Koreans taking one of our ships? You learn a little bit more later on in life. And when you think about North Korea, I don't want to say it's right around the corner from Vietnam, but it's certainly in the same general vicinity. And I'm thinking, you got Vietnam. Now we could be getting into another conflict with the Koreans. Whew. Thankfully, nothing brewed over, but those guys, that crew, they were held for 11 months. Finally released. The Brian's Beat quote of the day. Isn't it time you came out and told the world what you believe? Isn't it time you came out and told the world what you believe? Jason Alexander kind of figured with the Festivus for the rest of us that he would be pretty good to have for a quote for today. All right, let's hear from you. 508-996-0500. Before I go to the phone, I don't know what got into me. I had to do some shopping today, and I went to some of my regular store haunts, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and Market Basket. Have you ever noticed, you know, just take those three stores right there. For me, if I'm going to Stop and Shop, most of the time, I'm going to say 95% of the time, it's either the Dartmouth or the Fairhaven Stop and Shop. If I'm in the vicinity and I need something, I might go to Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, or what I would call Stop and Shop South, or up to Kings Highway, or Stop and Shop North. But most of the time, I'm going to the Dartmouth, and certainly the Dartmouth one, and I'm across the street from the Fairhaven one. So easy access. But my question here, have you ever noticed the difference between how shoppers are at Stop and Shop and Shaw's compared to the shoppers at the Basket, Market Basket? I really can't speak for how shoppers are at Price Right or at Save-A-Lot. In fact, I'm not even sure that Save-A-Lot exists anymore. I was down in the South End and I noticed that the Save-A-Lot, what was Save-A-Lot South, isn't there anymore. But there is a distinct difference between how people shop at Market Basket and how people shop at Shaw's and Stop and Shop. It's got to be the clientele. I don't think it's the workers at these stores. I know Market Basket has pretty much the same name brands, and the prices in general are better. But if the character of the people at Market Basket seems a little, let's say, out of whack, okay, out of whack, Why do we put up with it? I've gotten to the point where I don't go to the market basket that much anymore. If I'm leaving the station, it's an easy stop for me. Get off the highway, get back on the highway, get home. But most of the time, lately, when I say lately, over the past year anyway, I find that I go to Stop and Shop more than I go to Market Basket. And I don't know if it's a comfort level, but I don't have to put up with a lot of BS. That's what I think it is. I don't have to put up with the BS like I do at Market Basket. I still like Market Basket. I just don't like riff and raff. 508-996-0500 to get onto the program. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I know the market. I'm all right, man. A few things I want to talk to you about. I know the Market Basket in Fall River. You got to bring a Spanish dictionary with you if you want to talk to the employees most of the time.
Well, I think you're going to find it's pretty much the same way over at the one in New Bedford.
It's always packed, though.
It is.
It's like they're giving the food away for free at that Market Basket.
Which one? The Fall River one?
Yeah, man.
Well, I think it is. It's a price point that is agreeable to more people.
Maybe. Hey, you're talking about the USS Pueblo, right?
Yes.
January 23rd of 1968 was when North Korea kidnapped it. 6 months after the assault on the USS Liberty. I think North Korea saw what happened with the attack on the USS Liberty, and Johnson did nothing. He said, hey, why not take this boat that keeps creeping here around us? And they never gave the boat back either.
Yeah, wasn't that also a boat that had a lot of intelligence apparatus?
It was a slow-traveling spy ship.
Maybe that's why they wanted it.
Yeah, and they got it 6 months after the USS Liberty got assaulted, and that got swept underneath the rug. Within 6 months of each other, two boats.
So do you think it was more because of what happened to the Liberty that made North Korea act, or... As I might be thinking, you know, that North Koreans thought the United States was spying on them and they took that action.
Yeah. And then they say, hey, the U.S. is now a paper tiger. Let's grab this ship. And they held it for a year. They held the crew for a year. And Israel killed like a little over 30 sailors.
Mm-hmm.
But the boat never sank. Hey, man, did you watch this Turning Point USA with... Erica Kirk interviewing Nicki Minaj?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man, it was very, very eerie. She calls J.D. Vance an assassin.
So who's calling J.D. Vance an assassin?
Nicki Minaj. She's,
okay.
She's trying to get on good with the Trump administration. It was just the weirdest.
Wait, she's trying to get the Trump administration, and she's calling the vice president a name?
In a sexual way. It was in a sexual way. She found God. I wonder if she's going to dedicate, like, Anaconda to Jesus next time she performs.
I thought that Nicki Minaj was a lesbian.
I don't know, dude. Her lyrics are straight pornography. Straight pornography. And just like I told you, Brian, it's Turning Point USA. It's one big psychological operation to turn people away from Christianity and see how gullible they can get people who claim to be Christians. See how far down the sleaze bucket they can go. We're in for some troubling times, Brian. But it's going to get worse now.
If you want to look at it from the standpoint that we haven't bottomed out, yes, then I guess we are in for some troubling times. Hey, thanks. Thanks for the call. I can't argue that we're in for some troubling times. I think we're in some troubling times. Hello.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
And your last caller, Nicki Minaj is a big Trump supporter, so what he's saying is a bunch of BS.
She's trying to get in on the good side of her.
No, no.
Of him.
No.
No?
No. If you listen what he said, what she did was like this horrible, like there was some kind of collage of her and it was horrible. No, she's a Trump supporter. She did a really nice thing message-wise for Americans. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, what Nicki Minaj did was just incredible. I mean, I think it came the day before Ken Pittman's show on a Friday, and then Ken was probably the first one to talk about this out loud. So your last caller, I like him too, because I call him the deep thinker, because he's always got some really deep thoughts. Like, he's on it too, and I'm not bashing him or anything like that at all. I'm just saying, you're wrong. Nicki Minaj is never against the Republicans or Trump. So anyways, and also I want to apologize to you, Brian, because I tried to call in right away at top of the hour. And the reason why I wanted to do that is because you were talking about medical stuff.
Medical stuff?
Yeah. When you started the top of your hour, you were talking about medical stuff.
I was?
Okay.
Help me out, because every once in a while, I forget.
So I tried to call in right away, which that's unlike my character to want to call in right away. But I wanted to call in and tell you, like with CVS, there are prescriptions that are being prescribed. And when you go to where you pick up your prescriptions, everybody needs to be careful. And that's why I was trying to call into you, because, yes, there was a medical conversation. But
with me, I believe you. I just don't. I don't remember it. That's all.
It's okay. It's not a big deal. But what I want to tell everybody, which is a big deal, is I had 3 strokes, and I have my lupus. I thought it's done attacking me. It rears its ugly head. It once attacked my autoimmune system during the winter month cold. Like, I got Raynaud's disease, which is a part of a lupus, but I'm not outdoors. I'm not in the cold. But lupus, in the meantime, still, wreaks havoc on me. Mm-hmm. And it's rearing its ugly head because I'm older. I'm in my 60s. And apparently my immune system maybe is getting weak. I'm not as strong as I think I am. And it's rearing its ugly head. I thought I just got over this 9-day nightmare. But it's attacking my nerves.
Are you going to be okay?
Oh, you know what? I'm going to be good, because you know why? I'm a happy girl. I think positive. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to kick it, but it's not going to get the best of me, Brian. Thank you for asking.
Good.
That was really, really, really nice.
Well, that's the important thing is that, you keep a positive attitude, and that helps. I don't want to say it's a miracle worker, but it's pretty damn close to it.
Nope. But you know what? By your sincerity of asking that question makes me feel good, too. So here's the thing. I want everybody out there to understand something. So I needed a pain patch. I'm like, when you've had strokes, you can't have lidocaine. There's certain things you can and can't have for your pain. Cream, rub the cream on, lidocaine patches. Well, when you've had strokes, you are not allowed to have certain pain patches.
Now, well, that's good to know. I've had one, and nobody told me I couldn't have a lidocaine patch.
You're not supposed to.
Well, it's good to know now, because...
But like Tim says, you have to be careful what you say on the air, because I don't want to make, oh my gosh. Like Tim says, you always got to be careful about what you say. So I'm going to say, allegedly, you cannot have them. And I got a super strength patch. My friend went out and bought it for me and left me at the door. But in the meantime, the CVS pharmacist, and I will say her CVS pharmacist on Tocton Hill Road, that pharmacy and her, she said, oh yeah, you can have this. And I'm asking him to ask her, are you sure this is safe? Super strength. No, my doctor finally got back in touch with me. He's like, absolutely not. After having stroke, no, you should not have this. So I want to let everybody out there know.
Or at least in your particular case. Hey, want to wish you a very merry. And we'll talk to you after Christmas.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't want to, like, make it so dramatic, this conversation, but I just want people to know out there.
You let us know.
Don't trust your pharmacist. Your research.
Go to a naturopathic doctor. Okay. Thank you. That's my ad. Go to the naturopathic doctor. Hello. How you doing?
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
I thought it was Christmas. We all have medical issues, believe you me. And winter kills me, too.
Well, you're still alive, so you don't give me the dead talk.
Big time, I'm telling you. So, but you know what, Brian? What you were talking about medically, I think it was measuring something. You said, I'm glad she measures it properly. Some medicine you get. When you go to the doctor, you said, I'm glad she measures it.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. The fentanyl part. Yes, you're correct.
All right.
Yes,
so
thank you.
I think it was. Well, I got the same thing as you going on, too. CRS.
CRS.
Can't remember. I can't say it on the air.
Oh, okay.
All right. So anyhow, let's get back to Market Basket, because I went there today.
You too?
You know what? Yeah, what you were saying. What time was you there?
So before I came in here, between 2:30 and 3.
Yeah, it was a zoo. I was there at the same time. I'm surprised I didn't see you.
How could you with all the other people?
What a zoo. Let me tell you, when I first got in there, I was fine. But, I mean, I had a little anxiety, but that went away. I calmed down from it, and then I went into where the apples are, and I put myself right into that corner. The guy left. He had just loaded it up, and then I was in the corner with my carriage, and some lady moved my carriage with my pocketbook in it. Well, she really got my feathers ruffled, so I told her nicely, but that was the only incident I had. But after that, it was beep, beep, I'm behind you, beep, beep. I'm turning. Be careful. That's what I do because.
I'm not afraid to hit people with my cart. Not at all.
I don't hit them.
Woman friend doesn't even go shopping with me anymore because I make such a scene at the grocery store. I don't care. I don't care. You know, get out of my way. I've battled people enough at a supermarket to know that when I'm in there, I'm seeking revenge. I want my food, and if you're in my way, get out of my way.
That Market Basket, it's nasty in there for that. But, you know,
I do the same thing at Stop and Shop.
Well, it's not crowded in there. But you know what? When they stand in the middle of the aisle, they're so ignorant at Market Basket, and just stand there with the carriage, and I'm like, really? And it's like got a zillion people in there that have to keep moving. But you know, and then you got the guys coming out with those big pallets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but you know what? I find the aisles are too narrow in there, and they got so much food, and it's so loaded with food. It's like, where did all this food come from? And it never stops. But you know what? I think that they should have made that store bigger. They have room in the end of the parking lot that goes to waste because no one parks way back there. That whole section back there could have been made into the grocery store part. You know what I'm saying?
What part are you talking about?
Well, the back of the parking lot, like, you know, everybody parks up the front, and then they bring their cars up and double up in front and right in front of the door and all that. So the back of the parking lot is what I'm saying, closest to Taco Bell, that side.
And you think the store should loop all the way out there?
No, but when they designed it, they shouldn't have had, they should have cut that off of parking, and they should have used that section in the building and made it bigger, actually, because no one really, cars don't park way down there. You know, people don't want to walk a mile to the grocery store. They don't want to get exercise. All they want to do is eat. They want to be right on top of the door.
I want my roast chicken, and I want it now.
Oh, but you know what? It's too mobbed and jammed in there, and that's the problem. And then they got all that stuff in the aisles because there's not enough room.
Well, they've got stuff in the middle of the aisles because one of the ways they keep the prices down is they don't have people working overnight stocking shelves. They have them stocking while we're in there shopping. And so that doesn't help us while we're shopping, but it helps to keep the price down.
Anyways, it ended up being good. And at the end, one thing about Market Basket, you don't have to wait in line too long when you're checking out.
Yes, I agree with that. They have baggers and they have cashiers and they have people out in the parking lot bringing those carts back in.
But Stop and Shop has, I hope they don't fold up because Market Basket's got them licked. And I try to give them all a little bit of business because I don't want to see that happening.
You know, I hear you.
I go to Shaw's because they have some really good sales, and I go to Stop and Shop. But when I talk to the people that are inside these markets, they don't go to Market Basket, they told me.
I bet a lot of people don't. Conversely, there are people that swear by Market Basket, and that Market Basket serves Mattapoisett, Fairhaven, Dartmouth, and of course New Bedford, and Acushnet. So there are lots of people that come in there, but it really serves that community. What do we call that? The north end of New Bedford, all the way down to, you know, the area where you live in the West End, and even a few parts of the South End. I mean, thickly serves that area.
Well, Brian, the worst thing I could have done was gone to the bakery. I got those cream pies. Oh my God. Well, you have a very Merry Christmas, and I'm wishing you very good health in the new year.
Thank you.
Happy
and same to you. All right.
Okay.
I do appreciate the call. Happy, happy, merry, merry to you. Let's do one more before the break. Hello.
Hey, Brian.
Hey,
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, and thank you.
To your family and woman friend.
Yes, and yes.
All right. They should change the name from Market Basket to Market Disaster.
Why do you call it a disaster?
Because it was a zoo. I was there a couple of days ago. They didn't even have carriages. So I talked to one of the guys there that works at Market Basket. He said, sir, don't bother going outside because there's no baskets out there either.
What?
That was in the morning.
Well, if they're not outside and they're not inside, where are they?
Yeah, right. There were just too many people shopping. And some people, they can't even wait until they get home. They're just eating as they're shopping. And yeah. Then they, you know, they give the empty bag, whatever. They're munching on snacks.
Oh, yeah. Parents get, you know, I see Cheetos on the floor in parts of the store. And I wonder, why do the parents do that? Can't they feed their
adults.
Kid at home or at least in the car?
Yeah, but I'm talking about grown adults. People were middle-aged.
Yeah.
Out there eating like they never ate a bag of chips before. Ridiculous. You know what I'm saying, Brian?
No, I do know what you mean, yeah.
But Stop and Shop is doing a good job because they're coming down on their prices and they got specials. And I noticed at Market Basket, the prices are going up and up and up. And pretty soon Stop and Shop is going to be having better prices than Market Basket. It is a zoo. You know what I mean? And their prices are going up. I want to talk quickly about China and how, you know, AI and electricity. You know, in China, their electricity, they use a lot of coal plants. You know why they want the U.S. to be on wind and solar? Because they build and manufacture most of those solar panels and the wind turbines. They manufacture that. They want the U.S. They want the U.S. to buy their junk, you know? And in China, they had the CEO of NVIDIA. He was on an interview. He said in China, what they do is those companies that make the chips, they reduce the energy costs by 50%. So they give them 50% discounts on those that make the chips.
Really?
And our electricity prices in the U.S. are 4 to 8 times higher than that in China. And that 50% of the world's AI researchers, guess what? They're Chinese.
Good Chinese, yeah.
Yeah.
China is very, very big with artificial intelligence.
Yeah. 70% of last year's AI patents, guess where they came from? China. So here we have a buffoon, Maura Healey, and the idiots, the supermajority idiots. They, you know, all of these data centers and metadata and computer systems, and we don't have enough electricity to run these data centers and computer systems. Guess what?
You're paying for it.
We're going to be way behind, and China's going to be ruling the world. That's how stupid the idiots are in Boston and the Democrats.
I think that one of the delivery charges that we pay for are for these data centers. So those companies don't have to pay anywhere near as much as they would.
So we're paying 4 to 8 times more electricity costs. We're not going to have enough energy. Here we are, the dummies, buying cheap junk solar panels and wind turbines from China while they're building, I don't know what, five coal-burning power plants. Every week they're building new power plants.
And they're also building nuclear plants.
I don't know. Maybe they are. I don't know.
I mean, they've come out and stated it. That's nothing to hide.
Right. So they have enough energy to power all the advanced metadata systems and computers and all of that. And here we are. You know, we're in big trouble. And why isn't Donald Trump talking about this? All the states make their own decisions.
Donald Trump is too busy trying to figure out the Declaration of Independence. Hey, no, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you.
Give me liberty or give me death.
This is WBSM.
Merry Christmas, merry, merry Christmas from your Kmart Christmas store.
It's about options. Instead of booking your next trip online, call Low Cost Air at 800-221-6085. Next option. Speak with the real person to compare prices and schedules instead of AI. And with Low Cost Air, booking is an option. There is never an obligation to purchase anything. So call Low Cost Air to compare at 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085.
Back to Brian's Beat.
Means exactly what it says. It's a declaration. It's a declaration of unity and love.
The Declaration of Independence is a declaration of unity and love. I thought it was about untying the bands that tied the colonies with England. That was about, hey, we're in a war and we're in a war to win. That doesn't sound like unity and love to me. Oh, my goodness. Hello. You can't make this stuff up.
You can't. You can't. How you doing, my friend?
I am. How are you? Happy?
You know, happy. Yeah. Merry Christmas. By the way, and to your woman friend as well. By the way, after the last couple of callers, I was thinking while I was sitting on hold, I'm like, I wonder if in China there's a taxi driver, a cab driver that has a radio show and Chinese people call in to complain about Americans. I was just sort of like, I wonder if that actually exists somewhere else besides here.
Well, up in Canada.
Yeah, but that's not China.
No, it's not.
I guess you could probably find a cab driver up there that would put on a radio show that people call in to complain about Americans, but whatever.
When I went to Canada in the 1990s, we got into a cab, and the cab driver asked where we were from, and we said Boston. And you know what he said?
What?
Big.
Get out?
Dig.
Oh. He just summed up all of Boston.
Pretty much.
The revolution in one thing.
We laughed. Big dig.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was it was so fitting. I think 60 Minutes had done a feature not too long prior to that, and 60 Minutes it won't air like it does on the same day here, but you know, a week or two later they get it up there. They don't care.
Right. That was where I learned the term "don't kill the job." A friend of mine was working up there, and you know, and we were talking about something, and I was going fast, whatever I was doing. He goes, "Hey, slow down! Don't kill the job." And I go, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Well, that's what we say on the job site at the Big Dig. Is like, slow down. We don't have to get this done right away. We want to keep the money coming in."
haven't you noticed though? Lots of government jobs are like that.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, dude, let's stretch the coffee break.
The Inspector General of the United States, when DOGE was going on, he had no idea. He's supposed to be the person that, you know, is like the cat watching the mice, and he's like, "We have mice."
Yeah. not realizing what his side job is.
Right, because. I know you feel about this way the same way I do. The bureaucracy state, the people we never elected, and there's a lot of them in Boston too. The bureaucracy state doesn't care what we're doing. They don't care about the votes. They don't care who got voted in. I know we always complain about, don't they know they worked for us? And they're like, nope, they don't know that.
Nope, because we don't sign their check.
They don't care. That's right. And you know, they don't care. And you can have an executive, whether you like him or not, whether you can say Obama or Biden or Bush or whoever. The bureaucracy state doesn't care what they have to say either. I mean,
no, because they've got a union.
Yeah, they keep doing their thing. And if they keep doing their thing, and they're just in a different world and they don't care. But, you know, I'll give you an early Christmas gift. I'll give you my complaint about Trump, because I know you have these issues with him. But so, we were a Navy family my whole life. I wasn't in the Navy. My family, all the way back, you know, my father was in World War II. My brother was in Vietnam, all in the Navy. But Trump comes out with a new fleet, a new class of boats, and he named it for himself.
Yes, he did, the Trump class.
Yeah, and most naval people that are long-term, they probably all threw up in their mouth when they heard that, because that's not what you do. You know, you name it for someone, you know, obviously, like there's a Spruance class destroyer. He was an Admiral Spruance. I could go through the list, but you could name a boat maybe after Trump, but he would have to be out of office first.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never done. Never, ever done. It's the ultimate in ego, and it's the one thing, aside from how he talks, that I really dislike about this president. That, you know, he talks about respecting the people and the process and all that, but the fact is he doesn't, because his ego has to get in the way first.
He can't even tell you what the Declaration of Independence is about.
Well, that's probably because he hasn't studied it and it doesn't make him money. I don't know what to say. But,
yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think Biden could at least remember it. Well, if he could remember it, he could remember
it. Don't go there. But, you know, I feel bad for Biden, because he's an abused elder. Starting with his wife, keeping him in office, and all the other people around him, and Ron Klain and all these people keeping him propped up. And then when he couldn't do it, it was like, oh, we got that auto pen thing. Let's work on that. I do feel bad for Biden. I mean, you know, it should never have happened. And, you
correct.
Know, when George Clooney is writing op-eds to change the presidency, that's bad.
Good
I mean,
point.
Come on. George Clooney, a B actor, as far as I'm concerned, but whatever. He's moved his way down the path because he's good looking. That's really pretty much it. But whatever.
Hey, don't argue looks. Britney Spears is still making it.
Well, she's smoking hot. What's wrong with her?
Well, so is George to some people.
So is Gavin Newsom to some people.
Oh yeah, combs that hair, yeah.
He's a cougar killer, but you know, I don't want him making decisions for me.
Good point. All right. I want to wish you a happy and a merry, and we'll do it again. I'm back on the weekend.
Yeah, really enjoy your show. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. 508-996-0500. Let me. I got this piece, and I would feel bad if I didn't share. I like sharing every once in a while. The president of the United States, Terry Moran, ABC News. Terry Moran is in the Oval Office, and the president is showing him different things on the wall, et cetera, et cetera. You tell me your thoughts.
Every single company will be asking, do I need...
Nope.
Every single company will be asking,
no.
Do I need that?
No, be quiet, you. This one.
Over here you have the original of Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, and of course you have the Declaration of Independence.
What does it mean to you?
Well, it means exactly what it says. It's a declaration. It's a declaration of unity and love and respect, and it means a lot, and it's something very special to our country.
It is definitely special to our country, but unity and love? You've got to be kidding me.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
WBSM.
On the first day of Christmas, I left the Hallmark store
with the stuffed toy named Rodney Reindeer.
On the next day, I bought Rhonda, and then I added more.
Now five do the song of four, dance with Rhonda. Hallmark, thank you.
It's about options. Instead of booking your next trip online, call Low Cost Air at 800-221-6085. Next option. Speak with the real person to compare prices and schedules instead of AI. And with Low Cost Air, booking is an option. There is never an obligation to purchase anything. So call Low Cost Air to compare at 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer, go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find, the kids are gonna love you so.
Every single company will be asking.
So time for me to pack up the bags. Final Brian's Beat for 2025. Santos will be back on Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Christmas music,